The Value of Outdoor Life. June 9, 1902. Typed. The great medical institutions in our cities, called sanitariums, do but a small part of the good they might were they located where the patients could have the advantages provided by out-of-door life. Instruction has been given me that sanitariums are to be established in many places in the country, and that the work of these institutions will greatly advance the cause of health and righteousness. In Southern California, there are many properties for sale, on which buildings suitable for sanitarium work are already erected. Some of these properties should be purchased, and medical missionary work carried forward on sensible, rational lines. Several small sanitariums are to be established in Southern California to help those drawn there in the hope of finding health. Instruction has been given me that now is our opportunity to reach those in the highways, and also their attendants. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. John 4, verse 35 to 38. The work outlined by the Lord for our sanitariums is now to be done. Much more good will be accomplished by it than by work for the degraded and besotted. In this latter work, the laborers may pull some out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. But few of those who have given themselves to evil, whose lives have been spent in intemperance, ever learn to represent Christ. It is not wise to erect mammoth institutions. I have been shown that it is not by the largeness of an institution that the greatest work for souls is to be accomplished. A mammoth sanitarium requires a great many workers. And where so many workers are brought together, it is exceedingly difficult to maintain the standard of spirituality that should prevail in the Lord's institutions. In a large institution, it often happens that workers are brought in to fill responsible places who are not spiritually minded, who do not exercise wisdom in dealing with those who, if wisely treated, would be awakened, convicted, and converted. Not one quarter of the work has been done in opening the Scriptures to the sick that might have been done in our sanitariums, and that would have been done if the workers had received thorough instruction in religious lines. Where so many workers are gathered together in one place, management of a much higher spiritual tone is required than has been maintained in our larger sanitariums. If these institutions had been situated in the country, where they would have been surrounded by gardens and orchards, where the sick could everywhere look on the beautiful things of nature, the flowers of the field, and the fruit trees laden with their rich treasure, how much good would have been accomplished? As patients and visitors were given lessons from nature's great lesson book, how many diseased minds would have become healthy, and how much better prepared suffering bodies would have been to receive benefit from the ministrations of Christian physicians and nurses, who believe in the power of the one who gave his life for the life of the world. To those who have unquestioning faith in Christ's power to heal both soul and body will come, in physical, mental, and spiritual restoration, the evidence of his miracle-working power. I am instructed to say to our sanitarium workers that unbelief and self-sufficiency are the dangers against which they must constantly be on guard. The workers in these institutions are to carry forward the warfare against evil with such earnestness and devotion that the sick will feel the uplifting influence of their unselfish efforts. And in the efforts made for the restoration of the sick to health, use is to be made of the beautiful things of the Lord's creation. Seeing the flowers, plucking the ripe fruit from the trees, hearing the happy songs of the birds, has a peculiarly exhilarating effect on the nervous system. From out-of-door life, men, women, and children gain a desire to be pure and guileless. By the influence of the quickening, reviving, life-giving properties of nature's great medicinal resources, the functions of the body are strengthened, the intellect awakened, the imagination quickened, the spirits enlivened, and the mind prepared to appreciate the beauty of God's Word. Why should not the young men and young women who are seeking to obtain a knowledge of how to care for the sick have most liberally the advantage of nature's wonderful resources? Why should they not be most diligently taught to value and use these resources? God helping us, let us do our utmost to show the life-giving power of sunshine and fresh air. When we as a people follow closely the Lord's plan in our sanitarium work, these things will be appreciated, and nature's resources will be utilized. Needless adornment will be laid aside as nurses and patients seek for that which God values, a meek and quiet spirit, which is in His sight of great price. Those whose work it is to labor for the salvation of souls must keep themselves free from worldly policy plans. They must not, for the sake of obtaining the influence of someone who is wealthy, become entangled in plans dishonoring to their profession of faith. They must not sell their souls for financial advantage. They must do nothing that will retard the work of God and lower the standard of righteousness. We are God's servants, and we are to be workers together with Him, doing His work in His way, that all for whom we labor, whether in school work or in sanitarium work or in any other line of God's cause, may see that our own desire is to reach a higher standard of holiness. Those with whom we come in contact are to see that we do not only talk of self-denial and self-sacrifice, but that we reveal it in our lives. Our example is to inspire those newly come to the faith with an earnest desire to become better acquainted with the things of God. There is to be no taint of self-seeking in our service. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6, verse 24. Lift him up, the man of Calvary. Lift him up by living faith in God, that your prayers may prevail. Do we realize how near Jesus will come to us? He is speaking to us individually. He will reveal Himself to everyone who is willing to be clothed with the robe of His righteousness. He declares, I am He that holdeth thy right hand. Isaiah 41, verse 13. Let us place ourselves where He can hold us by the hand, where we can hear Him saying with assurance and authority, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Revelation 1, verse 18.